Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I am your host, Daniel Prue, and joining me as always are my two lovely co-hosts, Philip and Darren. How's it going? Hey, you know what? We are officially in fall time, and I know, Darren, you probably don't realize that because there's no discernible change in the weather, but how's it going?
It was 80 degrees out today, so, you know.
A balmy 80 degrees.
We're in late summer. Late, early fall summer, and then eventually it will get cold. It's like a slow transition, like someone's playing with the fader, like we get a week of 70, and then it goes back up to 80, and then we get a week of like 65, and then it goes back up to 78.
That sounds rough.
That's just California. This season thing, I don't get it. It just doesn't make sense.
And how about you, Philip? How are you doing?
Doing good. I had my birthday weekend, and of Star Trek note, I did get some Star Trek items in the old birthday present bag. One thing I got, which I actually had, but I just took it off, my wife got me an official Star Trek Picard hoodie, so it was very cool. It sort of has, unfortunately, it's Gryffindor colors, but whatever, I look good in burgundy. So, but other than that, and then my mother-in-law apparently went to Walmart and got me, like, half of the Kelvin action figures, so I have a Nero, Kirk, Spock, and Sulu action figures, from, you know, the Kelvinverse action figures from Playmates.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, interesting.
I did not realize those were still a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, go to your local Walmart. I'm thinking about that. But interesting how Playmates has evolved. Because, you know, I mean, I know folks listening can't see this. I'm in my truck room. There's lots of Playmates figures over here. And so I'm very familiar with what they are, and I'm sure perhaps you are as well. But the current ones are still Playmates, because I checked on the packaging. But the I'll call them modern, but these modern figures, they're kind of like almost G.I. Joe size, but they're still like soft plastic, and then like the, or whatever material it is, who knows what it is, and the, what do you call it, the way the figures move is so odd. Like, you would think they would have...
Articulation points.
Yes, articulation points are so weird. Like, you'd think, like, you know, legs move, arms move, and that's all you do, right? Except the arms, like, one arm will bend at the elbow.
Elbow.
Which is, okay, normal, right? The other one just turns at the elbow. So you have, like, one arm that's like this, and then one you can kind of just swing a little bit. So it's odd. But all right. But, you know, I still appreciate it.
Yeah, I remember the old gift. Playmates ones, they had the rotation at the bicep so that they could, you know, that was basically the wrist. The wrist didn't turn.
Mm-hmm.
And they had that kind of V, you know, hip. So, like, they could sit in chairs, but it didn't look comfortable because, like, they were kind of like, it's like, okay, cross your legs, but not all the way, and then sit down. That was kind of like what they were told.
Exactly. So, yeah, so those were my... Those are my Star Trek presents. So
yeah. So I'm curious. You say official Picard hoodie. Are we talking? Is it licensed from the show already?
Yeah. It's you know or like the I. It says, is like the Federation symbol, or is it?
Okay. So it's the
I think the A.
Yeah.
I thought the A.
It's the A. Whatever. I don't have it in front of me. But yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. So
interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And yeah, Gryffindor
if
colors.
If only
too bad, but,
well. We had Patrick Stewart spelling Picard for us, then we would know. Where to put the A.
Hey, that's a great segue you got there, Darren, because so here's the thing. I had kind of a topic that I wanted to talk about. Fortunately, the gods of Star Trek swooped in because it was probably, I don't know if it was enough
Alex?
to carry. It was not enough to carry maybe the whole show. But here's the thing. There's a lot going on right now in Star Trek, and I think we just kind of need to just kind of like look around and see where we're at and talk about the recent developments and all the sorts of things that are happening, because there's, I mean, wow, there's a lot going on. And especially this week, it seemed to just, I guess it's because New York City Comic-Con was this week,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I'm just glad we don't record on Fridays, because otherwise we'd be like, dang it, we just talked about all this and then all this stuff gets announced.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a ton of stuff.
I mean, when this is Star, not Star Trek related, but just as for, you know, nerds listening, I have a friend who was on our Time and Space Doctor Who podcast. She got to interview Christopher Eccleston, like just her on the panel with Christopher Eccleston, and so that's very rare, like his first time almost ever. So
save it for Time and Space, yeah. Philip.
But I was just saying, that was kind of a cool thing from New York Comic Con.
Yeah, I saw some articles about, I guess he was pretty candid about some stuff with, that's it. Every time he talks, it's
he
like.
He seems like a very candid individual.
It's always like, this is why he was, why he left Doctor Who, and this is why he didn't come back for the 50th, and this was, and it's like, man, okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
And every explanation
look,
is like.
He was too busy reading Thor Dark World script to care.
Although, actually, in
that. He hates that too.
yeah, which fair enough. That's fair enough. Yeah. But interestingly enough, and I don't know if this is true or it was just misreported or it's right, but they said he was essentially blacklisted from after the Doctor Who debacle. He was kind of blacklisted from British media, from television and movies. So that's why he came over and did stuff like Heroes and Thor. And I'm like, oh, okay. I guess he just probably did it for the money and like he couldn't. It's interesting. I didn't know that. I don't know if that's true. Maybe Philip can tell me, but I don't know.
Yeah. I actually don't remember him in Heroes. Maybe it was that first season or second season? But anyway, it doesn't matter.
He could turn invisible. That's probably why you don't remember him.
Okay.
He was there a lot longer than we realized. But.
All right. So, yeah, let's start talking about it. And I don't even know where should we start. Should we start with the Picard trailer?
Yeah, I think, you know, if the sandwich, you want to have a good kind of good first bite, you know, that corner piece.
You don't want to spit it out right away. You want to at least get into it.
Okay.
Or be like, what is the pickle in here? Ugh.
Yeah. So let's start with the Picard trailer because there's a lot there, especially for us as TNG fans. There's a lot there. So overall impressions, and then we'll dive deep into it. Darren, what did you think overall of the trailer?
Overall, I really liked it. I will admit, at the very end, when we see Will and Diana at their house, and like, I got a little misty. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what really hit home is these characters that we love, like interacting again. And we just haven't had that in decades. So I'm all on board. I'm excited. I got to talk to my uncle this weekend. He loves sci-fi, and we always chat about and bring each other up to speed on what we're watching. And he had said that he was kind of worried that it was, from what he had heard, is that Picard was just all going to be in the vineyard. I think he called it the forest, but he meant vineyard. Like, you know, like not out in space. And I'm like, no, I think that's just how they're kind of starting it. Like, kind of like, handoff from All Good Things ish, but I'm pretty sure he's out in the stars and doing his thing. The only other thing I noticed was we had heard from Patrick Stewart say that he did wear the old uniform, and that appears to be a dream sequence now, where he's in the vineyard and Data, you know, it's a very Star Trek dream. It's in the vineyard with Data painting. It's got all the check boxes.
We're just missing Sigmund Freud going, what does it mean, Data?
Yeah, exactly. You touch the paintbrush and then you wake up. And then the only other thing that really jumped out at me was the TOS Romulan Warbird. I'm like, what does that mean?
Bird of Prey.
Sorry, Bird of Prey, yes. I know that just scratches the surface, but I'm excited. And I think they did a good mix of, I mean, obviously they're showing the new characters, like we have don't know who they are yet at all, but we will. And I think, we're in for a fun time. I think I'm very optimistic for Picard.
And Philip, I feel like you may be a little more cautious about this whole thing. Has this pushed the needle for you at all, or where do you land on this?
Oh no, I mean, I'm certainly very interested in Picard. There were just a couple of things. One, I can't help but think of the comment from Unification Part 2 of where Captain Picard tells Data, I don't think he quite got Commander Riker's hair right. What the heck was wrong with Data's hair? Like, have they not, the makeup artist never seen Data before? Like, he had hair from, like, above his eyebrow to, like, it's all brushed back. I don't know. It was really weird. Like, it was enough to be like, I'm trying to enjoy this, but it's all wrong.
It did kind of feel like a before kind of post. You're like, I don't know.
I think it's a combination of probably the makeup and, being weird, just because it's different now. And
well, like the face was fine. It was just the hair was
the de-aging. Well, I think it's a combination. I really do. Okay. There's a lot of elements, and in order to do that exactly right, it's probably pretty tricky.
Cover something up here is what you're trying to say, maybe. Okay, but yeah, I mean, whatever. I'm not nitpicking. I'm just saying. It did take me out of a scene. It's like, this is really cool. It's Data Picard. And I'm like, and they're in their old uniforms. I'm like, but that's something's really weird. And it's funny about the new characters. Cause I mean, I'm sure I will, as the series goes, like you said, Daniel will care, but like at the end where you, or near the end where you have whoever in the captain's chair, presumably. And I'm like, who's this jerk think he is in the captain's chair? Get out of here. No one cares about you. But no, I'm sure
Which
it'll be.
I was kind of wondering, is everyone augmented in some way? Because they all seem to have, like, floaty screens, like, set distance
the
from
future,
their face.
Darren. It's the future.
I know, but it was just really interesting. And apparently everything's, like, gesture-based in the future.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't have to pull apart the whole trailer, but, like, it was...
Yes, we do. Yes.
Well, like, the whole part of, like... I mean, you know, I'm going to go with it, of course, but kind of a little tropish of, like, the Admiral being like, sorry, Picard, you're off the
this
case.
Is not your house anymore.
And I'm like, are you really? And we're going to do this again? I mean, you can't just be helpful. I mean, I get it, conflict, but we've been down this road before.
I kind of took it more as, I mean, he's obviously not in Starfleet anymore, so.
But they also don't care about whatever problem he's, you know.
Yeah. The Miss MacGuffin who showed up.
It did give them an excuse to have Patrick yell about Federation, you know, morals
what we should
and
be
ethics.
Standing for.
Insurrection! Insurrection!
So if, at the very least, it's that's Captain Picard lecturing someone about something important. That's good. That's pretty classic TNG, so.
Tell me, Admiral, how many people does it take before it becomes wrong?
Although, and then I like to take his check-in scene. Where he like spells out Picard, and you see the galaxy class above, and I'm like, please, 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 when he comes in, I want something on the PA to just be like, in the late 20th century, the USS Galaxy class was the foremost, like just happens to come in at the moment. It's like talking about the adventures of the USS Enterprise 1701D on Jean-Luc Picard, and he's like, ah, I got my name wrong.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like it's like, who are you, and you just like point to the picture on the wall, and then point to yourself.
Or it'd be even funnier if he, like, puts his hand down for, like, verification, and it's like, recognize Picard of Enterprise. And it's like this giant display. Like, there's no privacy at all. It's just kind of like, you can see it from miles
List
away.
List his awards for, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah. It was nice. Like,
yes, fast forward.
It was nice to see the Enterprise, though, even if it was in holographic form.
Sure. And then I saw, whatever, you know, ignore Twitter, I know. But I did see one tweet where someone was like, oh, you know, the Will and Diana happily ever after, a little fan service. You know, like, they married and had a kid. How was that happy ever after? It's what everyone does for the most part. So I was like, that's just normal.
I wonder if they're in anyway. Alaska.
It didn't look like it, but it could be. I mean, Alaska, it's not just what we... would stereotype it as, you know, it has.
Yeah, it's not just polar bears.
Exactly.
But especially in the 24th century, there's no more polar bears left. So
maybe he moved to Canada. of course,
it was great.
Could be Beta Zed for all we know. Who knows? But anyway.
That's true. It could be Beta Zed. I guess.
Who knows?
I guess their son is a quarter Beta Zed.
That's true. So he knew who was. No, I don't know. but yeah, no, I thought it though. I know I poke Frakes. I can't talk anymore as I'm getting older either. But like, it seemed like, you know, if I don't know if Frakes was directing his own appearance there or if it was just separate or whatever. But it's like, okay, so we're going to have you playing, you know, Will Riker. And he's like, should I do like any makeup? Or nah, just walk on the set. It's fine. I mean, like,
could
no,
you open up your shirt a little bit more?
Like, you know, anything with a beard or anything? Nah, you're fine. You just, I'm like, it just looks like Jonathan Frakes. I mean, you know, I mean, okay, fine.
My girlfriend did ask when we were watching the trailer. She goes, "Who's that?" I'm like, "Oh, that's Commander Riker." Oh, okay, I get it.
And then I was almost expecting him to be cooking eggs, and Butler would be there. It felt very, it was very generation.
He should be playing the saxophone as he walks in.
Yeah, so I mean,
trombone, Philip, trombone.
Oh, sorry.
Obviously, that's a big part of the trailer, but it was really great, and they really kind of end it with Captain Picard and Riker just chilling there, being buds, and like that's awesome. Like
it was really, really cool.
It's like it's hitting all the like even if the and I will talk about this because I'm still a little nervous about the actual plot line of what's happening, but. But if we're getting moments like that, like
I don't care.
I don't care.
It's like just give me that. This would be one moment for our Hallmark card an episode, and I'll be good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes a nice what's the word? Dichotomy with the All Good Things, Admiral Riker. You know, you're not getting a ship, and blah blah. And this one,
fortunately, didn't comb his hair back like Admiral Riker did in All Good Things.
Or get that gray either. Or anyway. He actually looks a lot better than Admiral Riker did in All Good Things.
Well, so does Picard. All of them do. All of them look better than they aged.
But this, you know, obviously he's, you know, I wouldn't even think about, you know, talking him out of it. I know better. All that stuff. So.
Yeah, I like that last moment where he's telling him, you know, like, don't. Thanks for not talking me out of this. And he's like, I know better. Yeah. And then I saw someone joke. Like, the next moment is, it's okay, we'll take the lake with us. And they, like, because it looked a lot like where Jake and Sisko were fishing at the very beginning. So, apparently there's only one program for a lakeside house in...
So, in terms of characters coming back, too, one thing I noticed, I was worried, a little worried, that Seven was going to be kind of a glorified cameo, but we got a bit more of her here. So
she's going to have more than one episode. She seems to be like the kick-ass person,
which is awesome. That's
and it almost looked like, I mean, she had a weapon, obviously. It almost looked like a Halo pulse rifle. Like, it was giant, and she's just like two-fisting it, just like, what'd she say? I'm here to help people who can't help themselves. And
yeah,
she's like, you know, I'm, it's like,
bored private
eye. All out of bubble gum. It's all out of bubble gum. and then I saw later that Hugh was in the trailer. Again, when he doesn't look all Borg, I'm sorry. It's hard for me to figure out which one is him. But he has a couple marks on his face.
Oh, I couldn't.
But,
yeah, I was when they started showing.
I had to look it up.
Borg parts. I was like, oh, they're going to show Hugh, because I felt like it was the way the trailer was kind of leading up to it, and like I never saw him. I was like, oh.
I'm really interested in what aspect the Borg. I mean, we obviously the Borg plays some role in this story, because
Borg,
we have shots.
And
we have shots of a cube. We have Seven.
Lots
we have Hugh.
Shots, yeah.
It's always that cube that has like the blue force fields on it, whatever that means. And then you have the Romulan bird of prey, and that's like, did that come through time? Is that just a holdover from some museum? Because it's, like, at this point, way out of date,
well,
you know, to be flying a ship like that.
Well, yeah.
What if that's their ship?
What? Well,
it's not. No, no, it's not. Never mind.
I thought the same thing, but, yeah.
I mean
that would be kind of...
Yeah.
I'd hate for one of the major races to be using the same design for hundreds of years and never changing it.
Excelsior! Sorry.
And it doesn't matter.
Oh,
to
man.
Me.
If we see an Excelsior class of Picard, I'm going to kind of back away for a moment and be like, really, guys? Because that's a long time to have a ship on the line.
But it kind of reminds me of Star Trek Online, and who knows, you know, how much they'll keep or not keep. But, you know, again, same time period, same Romulan thing, and they're still using Bird of Prey,
right.
If you're level one Romulan. But, and so, you know, whatever.
That's so true.
It's
yeah,
really
that's a good question. Will they have the destruction of Romulus? Have
well, they have to. And they I think they've to. Already talked about that being an element of the story. Interestingly enough, though, when Picard first is talking to Data, and he basically has nightmare sequences before he wakes up, it's not the destruction of a planet that we see, but it looks like a bombardment that's happening. So I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. The elements that don't sort of make any sense to me, like, obviously Romulans play a big part. The Borg play a pretty big part. And I think Data-type androids seem also to be taking a big part.
Oh yeah, there was.
They looked like
where
androids or robots or something,
and they had like a mark on their forehead.
Yeah,
and that was really interesting because we've never seen anything like that in Star Trek.
So I have no idea what they could be going for with these like weird mishmash of elements. So I'm interested to see what it is.
Well, one thing I like, and of course, what is it? We now have a date, right? January something something. I've already forgotten.
23rd.
I wanted to say that, but I don't know if I was right. But anyway, all that to say, and this is a positive for me. We still don't know the actual plot, and that's fine. I don't want to know it, to tell you the truth. A trailer's doing what a trailer does. These are cool moments to get you interested, and that's all I need. Don't tell me the story of who this woman is, or what the mystery is that they're trying to solve. You know, I'll just show it to me. I'm there for it. So I like what they're doing. Show enough to keep us interested. Know there's new characters. Know there's old characters. There's action. There's, you know, Picard yelling. That's fine. I'm there.
Drawing lines. You know.
Yeah, that's all I need. So I mean, they've given us the rough outline. Something caused him to, and then he left, and then he's now going to come back, and blah blah blah. But you know, whatever. I'm here for it.
All right, so I'm re-thumbing through the trailer. God, it's hard because when you pause, it doesn't pause. It just does what it wants to. But they almost look like inmates, the androids, like. This one has like an F8 on his forehead.
You know what I was thinking? What it actually flashed me back to was the scene with the doctor when they were mining.
Yeah, the EMH Mark I's.
I was thinking that's what the kind of what they were doing with it, but because they were all in like some facility, it looked like they were all working and stuff. So I'm not sure. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. You know, this is very tropish, but it'd be fine. You know, some sort of questy type thing of like, you know, because there's this girl that visits him, and you know. Gives this plea to him, but she apparently, I guess, disappears because it doesn't seem like she's with him anymore.
Right.
And so now he has to go.
He goes to Starfleet. He comes back,
and then he gets a ship somehow. You know, space.
We
space,
go by
Starship,
the Vasquez Rocks because you gotta.
Yes. It starts.
You know. There was a scene where Picard was talking to another man. And I can't remember what scene, like specifically what they were saying, but he was just basically, I think the guy was like, oh, do you really want to go back out there? And Picard says, now more than ever or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought, and this could just be me making this up, but I was like, and it's definitely not the same actor, but it could be the same character of his buddy who tries to get him to stay on Earth and family.
Oh, and do the Atlantis project.
Yeah. I just got that vibe. I don't know why. It could be totally wrong.
It took me a couple times to get to rewatch the trailer to have it sink in because honestly, every time I got to the end with Will and Dana, I just everything just faded away, and it was just like, oh, this is all I need.
Yeah.
So looking forward.
Is there anything
to
else? Any other elements that we haven't touched on?
I mean, just the new people, but whatever. We'll learn their names and care about them, presumably.
It's really hard to care about them when you're seeing all these old characters in it.
Well, it's also interesting because I think I said this before, it kind of reminds me of when Discovery was starting to gear up and we knew like the names and their roles, but we didn't know, but that gave us no context. And I remember
Mushroom Scientist.
Exactly. Everyone was scratching their head and that became like a pivotal plot point to the entire series. But yeah, so I don't know what we'll get, but I'm excited. I think I think it'll be good, and I think like I feel like it's a good mix. I feel like having him like maybe, you know, in one episode see Will and Diana, but then in a couple of episodes have Seven and Hugh, and then like every episode Picard. Like I feel like that's a good balance. Like I'm not saying we need to have Next Generation Part 2 and everybody's back and we, you know, I mean, I think they finished filming obviously at this point, and I think they greenlit a season 2.
Yes, they've already talked about season 2 too.
So,
and here's the thing, and they're not going to give away everything either. So there's going to be other cameos that we're not aware of.
One hopes
that are going to come along. So
Michael Dorn signed the
thing. More Gates McFadden. I mean, that's the, you know.
And don't forget, we're not just talking about TNG here. Seven's a major character. This could be. This could open the floodgates. We could see.
Oh my god!
And
it
to,
could be
maybe
so
to,
good.
Maybe to segue, we could even see Morn, or something like that from Deep Space Nine.
Yes, because that's who I'd want to see come back in Picard.
No,
you're not dead yet, Morn. No,
But let's, since you brought it up, Darren, let's talk about Discovery. And Discovery also dropped their trailer at Comic-Con. So, season 3 trailer.
And it finally won Philip over.
Yes, Philip is very excited
right?
about seeing it.
No, maybe. No.
What'd you think, Philip? What'd you think of this season 3?
It said a lot without really saying anything. I don't know what is going on.
Well, like, so here's the premise, which is not, it's not bad, but obviously I struggle with it. Because, look, in the future, nothing lasts forever. You know, nothing lasts forever, nothing lasts forever. I get it. But it's a little sad to, like, show the future of, like, and again, we don't know the details, but presumably the Federation doesn't exist anymore. And that's sad, right? But, of course, you know, nothing can last forever. You know, something probably
or it doesn't exist in the state that we know of.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of a little sad because then there's sort of a reverse sense of futility that anything we see in Picard, because we'll know, like, well, doesn't matter because in 600 years, blah, you know. So, I mean, that's a little nihilistic. But other than that, I don't know. I mean, I guess because it's a whole sort of, it's very like H.G. Wells' time machine, you know. You go to the future to save the future, and then, I guess, you know. But you know, this whole, like, we go to the future and, like, oh yes, there used to be a Federation, and that symbol you're wearing, and you're called Discovery, and it's like, okay, so we're kind of like, you know, gonna use the Discovery and Discovery crew to kind of, you know, resurrect the Federation and what it stands for, which I was like, I don't know if they really are the best examples, but you know, okay, and so I don't know. I mean, I get that it's a blank
slate. Hey, they've got Saru. Saru's on that ship.
Yeah, it's a blank slate, but again. You know, it's kind of like a Kelvin verse, almost like a blank slate. We can do whatever we want. We're in the future now. And it's like, okay. So,
yeah.
We'll see what happens this time.
I felt the same way. I kind of looked at Discovery and I was like, man, you guys keep putting yourselves in these corners. Like, we're going to be a prequel series right before TOS, so there's only so much we can do. And then. Oh, now we're going to be in the far future, but we're still going to make Trek in the, you know, quote unquote 90s era, you know. I'm just like, yeah, I had the exact same thought you did, Philip, where I'm like, yeah, okay, even though we're 900 years in the future, whatever, it's still a little like, unless they do some sort of like time is fluid thing and, you know, they're not guaranteeing that this is how everything's going to turn out, it kind of hollows. Picard and everything in that time when we're like, you know, oh, he saved the Federation. Well, in a couple centuries, you know, I don't know it, but I think it's going to be interesting because it looks like Burnham is alone for a while before the rest of the Discovery.
And that makes sense.
Which it kind of very 2009 where like Spock goes through first. I was the first to go through. And then, you know, Nero was the first actually to go through. And then he ends up appearing before Spock. So she went through first and then Discovery comes later. She's had time to try out lots of hairstyles. and yeah, it's again, like I said, it was interesting, but it didn't really tell me anything. Like, is there a war going on? Is this the time of Calypso?
I mean, it has to be before because Discovery is already there in Calypso. But yeah, I would assume it's the same time.
Relatively time. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
No, the relativity was, I think, a few centuries before. Sorry.
What do you guys think of the six-star Federation flag?
So okay, I'll admit I actually think it's kind of clever in a cutesy way. Like briefly, like it's a very nice shorthand way to be like, whoa, something has changed. There's a lot of stuff missing. I think it's in that we don't know what it is.
Well, the laurel leaves are also a little more barbed. Like it's a little more like,
but they're not cogs, know. Right?
No, heck no. I'm so glad it's not a gear. But yeah, no, like you said, Daniel, it in one image says, hey, there was 50 stars here before and now there's 6. And that's you immediately can tell kind of what happened just from that.
Well, I guess, and that can be very well true. What I took it as,
they're still rendering the flag. That's all it means. It's going to take a little while for it all to.
I took it that kind of it's a copy of a copy of a copy. You know, like, oh, what is the Federation? You know, blow the dust off and like, oh, this is what kind of looked like. And, you know, the biggest stars are the only thing that, you know, didn't fade over time.
Oh, so you think like they're gonna like refound it in a way, and that's kind of the flag they come up with because they're starting over?
Yeah, or that's just their interpretation. I don't know. That was just my
stab. Do they control their army forces with drugs?
No, they actually have this clone army they've used, and
this is kind of a nothing burger trailer. It's so weird. I don't know. It feels.
Well, I guess because I assume they're going to go back. Like, right? Like, is that the assumption? Because
I hope
your show is there. I have to assume that they're all going to go back.
Well, theoretically,
22nd century.
I mean, Calypso, you know, is not a period, but Calypso, you know, theoretically, at some point, people aren't on the Discovery for a long time. The Discovery is abandoned in the future. Doesn't mean they don't come back to the Discovery, theoretically, right? They could have just been on a planet for a year or something, who knows? But maybe they all go back in time, or back in time, but leave the ship there, you know. But we know the ship is abandoned at some point in the future.
True, because there's nothing to say that the short treks are not canon or not true. We just haven't seen the events of that one.
So even with the very, very liberal use of time travel and getting out of a box that they put themselves in, they put themselves in another box now where they have to explain how Calypso happens because it doesn't seem to make any sort of sense. I don't know. I this show doesn't have a
point.
Focus or a purpose. I don't know. And oh my god, talk about making the same mistakes. There was a character who told Michael to her face that she's the one, and she's the one that's going to fix everything. And I'm like, oh my god, please don't do this again. I don't care if it's 900 years in the future. This is awful. I'm nervous that and I guess maybe I shouldn't expect any different, but it's going to be more of the same. Just
do we have a date for them? So Picard's out in January, so presumably Picard's going first.
We know 2020, but I don't think we know when in 2020.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that it got pushed back. I didn't. Okay.
Oh, is it 2020? I didn't hear that, Darren. So it's not even going to be in.
Let's see.
Let's find out.
Yeah, so Picard's January 23rd, so presumably that'll run weekly. Because I know they're not going to. Well, one would assume they're not going to co-run for the sake of profit. So presumably Picard would run either in its full series or half series.
So on the CBS website in the corner, it says new season 2020 when you're on the Discovery page.
So no.
And that's what the trailer says too. So it's
vague.
Picard first. Yeah. Interesting. Wow. I wouldn't have expected
Picard first. That's what Trump would say. So, but yeah, I don't know. Like you said, Daniel, I agree. It's like you're in another box that you put yourself in. And again, like, we're playing in the Star Trek universe,
ish.
And that's great, but yeah, but ish, it's like, but now we're in a far future where we don't know what races are going to be around. We don't know what the state of everything is. At least we had a little bit of like tether to the 22nd century when we were back there, but it's like, it might as well be its own show that has nothing to do with Star Trek. For how much they're connecting it to other things.
So there are two things I want to talk about in terms of that, because we see a Trill pool and an actual Trill in the trailer. And we see,
is it a troubled Trill in the trailer with,
and we see a Cardassian, an Andorian and a Morn type character. So they're digging into, I don't know, maybe Deep Space Nine pretty heavily at this point, interestingly enough. Obviously, they're not going to be the same characters, but we see those...
recognizable species.
Yeah.
So let me just throw out this left, or this curveball, and I'm not trying to segue, but Short Treks is a bit of a Ouija board to Star Trek Universe. So we had Q&A already released, which was obviously TOS Discovery. The Trouble with Edward comes out Thursday, October 10th, so probably by the time this podcast has already been released. I forget what that's about. Ask Not, Thursday, November 14th. The Girl Who Made the Stars, Thursday, December 12th. Ephraim and Dot, December 12th. And Children of Mars, January 9th. So, I don't know what's Discovery related. I don't know what's Picard related. I don't know what's animated related, but, you know.
Well, let's do a recap on the ones real fast of the ones we already got. So the first one we got was The Runaway, and that set up the Queen that we would later see at the end of season two. I guess I'm more like touching on like where the payoffs were, you know, that we got. Then we had Calypso, where we have yet to see that payoff, but we're expecting it to be soon. We get Bright of Star, which gives us a ton of backstory for Saru, which was interesting. And then you had the Escape Auditors, which was kind of just self-contained mud fun, but also fun to see him. And I'm trying to remember if he showed up early in season two. I need to rewatch season two.
So, spoilers. Yeah. The next thing we're going to be talking about is the short trek. Which
oh my gosh, that's great!
Which was surprise dropped this week. So, is there anything else?
They're like, hey guys, it's out now. When? Now? Now? When will then be now?
So anything else real quick that we want to touch on for season three?
Look, you know, and I say this at the beginning of every season, I know it doesn't sound like I'm being true, but look, I will open minded once again, because they have reset it once again, Discovery, and so whatever, you know, new opportunity.
Look, third time's the charm, Philip.
New showrunner, I mean, you know, one new showrunner, and it's a duo. So, you know, some new cast, so, you know, let's see what we got this time.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be here watching it. There's no doubt about it, one way or the other. So, Darren, anything else you wanted to touch on season three?
No, we really don't have a lot. And I'm, like you said, it was kind of a, not a nothing trailer, but just it didn't really spill. Whereas I'm sure we'll get another one before it actually premieres, and that will be more of the plot-ish.
You sort of had the Saru speech as narration, and I suppose it doesn't matter. In as much, but maybe it does, is that with, and we talked about this before, with the future, so is Saru, I mean, quote unquote, it doesn't, you know, how official is it? Is he captain? I mean, what does that word even mean anymore? You know, but, you know, is
captain of a federation that doesn't exist?
Well, the captain of the ship, you know, but, you know, and then, so I don't know, we'll find out.
There's a lot of interesting ideas there. I mean, this could be kind of a prototype, like Voyager type situation, where how do you handle this type of situation when you're so far removed from everything?
And maybe that's what they're doing with Discovery. Maybe Discovery is like this ship that just like crazy stuff happens to. They're in mirror universes. But I mean, if you actually look at it as
Mushroom
Discovery
universes.
Is just always going to be detached from like the main, like it's almost like they made a whole story about that other ship that went on those adventures that wasn't the Enterprise. You know what I mean? Like, it's detached from what we would consider, like, the main plot of what's going on in the galaxy.
No, except, I don't know. They almost, and again, I don't mean this as a critique, but it's so different, and that's a negative positive. It's almost like if there's a Prime universe, there's a Kelvin universe, and there's a Discovery universe, and so, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, so that's Discovery, and we'll look forward to it sometime in 2020, and we'll certainly report back to you when we start watching it, but we got a little taste of it. I mean, I guess it's technically not Discovery-related anymore, because Discovery's gone. Well, I don't know. We'll get into it. Kind of what people have been clamoring for ever since Season 2 with Pike came out. People were really like, we like these characters. This is good. Let's see some Enterprise stuff. And so we got.
If we got a Pike show, I think we'd all just like, we'd fall over happy.
That depends if it was written like this. Anyways, so Q&A is the name of this short trek.
And unlike all other Q based puns, this one does not contain John DeLancey.
As far as we know, he could have been the turbo lift. We don't know. But
he's not a shapeshifter, Dave.
he is.
He appears as Data at one point. So, anyways, so what did you guys think of Q&A? I have thoughts, but go ahead. Somebody just take it up. I want to see what you guys think.
I don't like the turbo lift.
I do not like the turbo lift either.
I like turbo lift, but I do not like the Kelvin based. We have gods of room inside this ship. And just let's just connect the dots. And again, I get it. I get the concept, but it's like you look in whenever they do that outside in view of the turbo lift. And I'm just like, no, there is no room for that on a starship, especially one as big as the Enterprise.
Well, but, like the thing is we, and again, I know we're getting in the weeds. Sorry, folks. But like, on the Discovery, you can do that because who the heck knows what the Discovery looks like? We don't have any blueprints, whatever. Right. It looks like
or
whatever
the
you want to
JJ
say, right?
JJ Enterprise, yeah. Which was huge.
Yeah, whatever.
Comparison.
Whatever. But we know what the Enterprise NCC 1701 looks like. So, you know. Yeah. No, overall, Daniel, I mean, like, I don't know. This is very elementary, but like 1 through 10, 6, you know, it wasn't bad. And there were portions of it that I was interested in. I mean, it's short, you know, only lasts so long. Was it 14?
It had a lot of credits, at least like 3-4 minutes of credits. So,
but overall, I just felt like, again, this because it has the touch of Discovery. If I take it out of the universe that I know, interesting. But if I'm like, this is literally the Spock that I know from the Prime universe. I mean, I get it, because then you can mix in, you know, where no man has gone before, shouty Spock, you know, you get that whole kind of reference, and that's funny. I like that. That's great. That's great. But then, like, you start, the more I start to think about it, like, well, and even Discovery Universe, how it portrays itself, the uniforms they're wearing. So either A, we go where no man has gone before, with the beige, and you can Discovery it up, whatever, but, or, so you're saying that from the beginning, Captain Pike, I was going to say Captain April, but Captain Pike, you know, I don't know. Again, I don't know what would be the time, because how long did it take from Spock to go from ensign to, I think he's just a lieutenant commander in Discovery, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, obviously more than 1 year. And so from the beginning of the Enterprise, they were wearing the Enterprise uniforms, and every single other person in Starfleet was wearing a completely different other uniform.
Oh, it's true. Because Discovery is supposedly like the uniform everyone's wearing, and it's brand new that we're getting the TOS style. But if this is Ensign Spock, unless he got promoted super fast, which could happen, then they're wearing the uniforms much earlier than we've been indicated.
Right. So, yeah, again, that's a nitpick. I mean, whatever, I suppose.
I mean, it would be weird if they were wearing the Discovery uniforms. For what they were trying to convey.
Would it?
This is the TOS ship. This is the Enterprise.
I just think they... I mean, I get it. I know it's money. And Short Trek is really supposed to be like, everyone's here, let's just film a thing. You're not going to invest in new
in
sets.
A turbo lift that we can't go out of. So yeah. It's like literally a bottle show.
You're not going to spend money on uniforms. So, I mean, I get it, but... And then, just the characterization... Well, I guess I'll stop here. I mean, I don't know. Like, what'd you all think of number one? Because we can go talk about Spock for the next hour.
He has thoughts! So, here's the thing. I don't...
So, you weren't a fan, Daniel?
No, not at all. You gave it a 6. I would probably give it a 3 out of 10. Here's the thing. If you had, in the middle of season 3 of Star Trek TNG or Voyager, Voyager. If you were in season 3 of Voyager and you showed, and we had Short Treks at the time, and you went back and you showed the first time Janeway met Tuvok. That it would be interesting and exciting and cool, and we would learn a lot, and you could do a tremendous amount of character growth in that amount of time. Here, you're taking two characters, one of which is obviously the most popular character in all of Star Trek, and is you're going to get criticized no matter how you handle that situation. And the other we know very, very little about, and you're taking a big risk to do this sort of thing. But we don't know this iteration of these characters very well either way. So I feel like it's kind of a tightrope, and they're pushing the character stuff, and it's like this doesn't fit, doesn't feel natural. It's weird and awkward, and I like half the episode I'm like, what are they? Why is there sexual tension between Spock and Number One?
There was. And
what is going on? Who wrote this? What is this supposed to be?
Michael
Then she starts
Chabon.
Singing. And I'm like, why? What is this? I just didn't. And at the end of it, I just didn't get it. I just didn't understand what the point was. Were we supposed to know? I guess we're supposed to know more about number one, but she didn't even tell us her name, which I was really disappointed
in. Well, it was on the pad. It said Una.
Yeah, but she still wouldn't say it. And it's just, I feel like that's just whatever. She would admit that her secret whatever was that she liked to sing, but she wouldn't tell us her whatever, whatever. Listen, there's a lot of famous stuck turbo lift scenes in Star Trek. We have Odo and
Loxana.
Right. We have Picard and with the kids.
Right.
Lots of good stuff. It's a ripe fruit for picking. But this is not the way to do it. You don't introduce characters this way because I guess you could, but they didn't even introduce them. They just acted like they were like established characters that we know and understand. It doesn't work like that. It just, again, it feels like the same sort of shortcuts that Discovery always takes, where they just want to get to the good character bits without building up to it. And I was more confused. Is Spock going to kiss number one? What the hell are we doing here? I don't know what's going on. So that's how
they start to do the two finger touch thing, and it's like, what's going on? Yeah, it was, I mean, I like Una. I think I've gotten a lot more of her character, not just from Discovery Season 2, but also she's been in a lot of the books, the first and the most recent one, which, I mean, however you want to take that in canon, I think they've well written her character. I was a little surprised she said the word elevator. I didn't feel like that would be something you would say in the 22nd century, but, you know.
23rd.
That's, yeah, 23rd, but still. Like I get it, but it's like it's a turbo lift. It's just call it a turbo lift. But so yeah, no, I think it was like up and down. Like there were moments where you're like,
it's
oh,
a turbo lift,
really
Darren.
Good.
It goes up and down.
Yes, it's side to side, back and forth. And, but now I don't want to see a super cut where it's like Q&A. What is it? Disaster. And just all the turbo lift scenes of craziness. We can even cut in some Babylon 5 with that. But yeah, no, I guess I was just saying it. I felt like it was like a roller coaster of like there are moments where it's like, oh, this is really good, and then there are moments where, like, what are they doing? And then another moment is like, oh, this is really good, and it's like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? Like, you know, I thought he was going to hoist her with, like, putting his hands together and, like, she puts her boot in
it. I thought it was so, too. But
And then it wasn't that. And then it was just like, what is going on? But, yeah. It was,
I wouldn't have hugged her. That wouldn't have been my first reaction. But, you know.
Yeah, what is he going to do? Like, grab her?
He's
like,
a Vulcan.
By her waist.
Throw her off or something.
That is true. He is really strong. I don't know why the turbo lift broke in the first place.
Also,
but
how shoddy is this engineer that they can't fix a turbo lift? And like, how long was it? Like, it seemed several hours, but maybe that was just me.
Or you could teleport. Sorry,
well,
transport.
No, we don't. No,
oh my
Daniel.
Gosh, I didn't even think about the transport.
Well, we don't site to site transport in the 23rd century. It's very.
But you could if you needed to, probably.
Well,
you know, I mean, just there's a lot of things that didn't happen in the 23rd century that Discovery can do.
Well, this is the Enterprise, Daniel.
Okay.
Rules still stand for what they are. But I was a little surprised, just number. I mean, I get it for narrative purposes. I'm talking about outside of narrative purposes. That I feel like after the first hour, number one would have been like, all right, I'll just do it, you know. Started fixing. I don't think like 7 hours later. What
yeah.
Be like,
and then I was also surprised that
also Spock wouldn't know how to do it either. But anyway,
at the very end when they're on the bridge and like I get that they have a secret and they're not going to share that moment. I get that. But then the fact that she like looks up his name and acts like she had never met Ensign Spock, and I'm like, that's a little far into the weeds there to keep up that.
And the part where she's like, you walk in the bridge first. I'll count to 15, and then.
Even though it's obvious we're on the same turbo lift, but
and this is not a fault of the episode, but to me, it's upsetting that Spock didn't like introduce himself when he first got onto the bridge. I'm like, that seems
you report
really
to the
unprofessional.
Captain.
Yeah, report to the captain, man. Like that's
or
what you do.
Obviously the captain would also have known that number one escorted Spock because that's her job.
He probably would have known that they also broke down for 3 hours.
Where's number one?
That's true.
I'm sure somebody would have told him.
So he's just looking at her going, Wait, you spent like 4 hours in a turbo lift and you didn't learn his name, number one? You're slipping, number one.
That's why we leave you at Con and don't give you your own position.
Oh.
But yeah, because like, as you said, Daniel, so the shortcut is, because I think if you watch The Cage, number one is actually more Spock than Spock. You know, she is the logic person, you know. Someone calls her like a computer or something, just like they would call Spock and the rest of TOS a computer. And so,
well, they also say they don't think of her as a woman. So it's, yes. You know, they I see like, a lot of stupid things in The Cage.
Pike's like, you're one of the good ones.
And it's like, that doesn't help.
That doesn't help.
Pike, you're not.
Yeah. 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 Why can't they make this Pike more sexist? No, I'm kidding. But if the premise is that you have these two characters who are similar, and number one is basically trying to tell Spock that this is her command approach, which is to be like Spock, not that Spock knows that. And so she's like, yes, Spock, repress those emotions. That's what you do. And I'm like, I don't know if this is really the best. I mean, I get that's where he's going to go, but really that's your fault? You're the one to blame for this? Okay.
I mean, they could have done the whole thing with her, like, escorting him on a shuttle to the Enterprise. Then you don't have any breakdown, no shortcuts.
It's like a really long shuttle ride, and it's just, you know.
Yeah, which, you know, we have awkward ones like of those, too, like Picard and Wesley and all sorts of things.
Do you want any sandwiches?
and she has to take the scenic route to show him the Enterprise.
Oh.
And
I mean,
so
they
swings around a couple times.
I mean, they talked about the like we learned a lot of stuff. We learned what operating system number we're at. We learned what
the food
type of food processor mix we're at. You know,
does she like eggplant? I mean,
they're writing the technical manual.
We didn't learn the answer
right now.
To if she liked eggplant. She never
that's
answered.
True.
So.
That's true.
Or Fujili. I mean, that's really what I'm interested because I make a mean Fujili. Yeah, it just seemed a little off, especially from the Spock point of view. And
it's one of those things where it's a black box one spot scene, but then again, you would never have a scene like this in a regular episode because we'd be like, why are we staying on this for so long? We'd move on to something else and then come back or something.
I mean, you could, but it'd be a little bit more depthier than this is. Again, like the ones we've mentioned, all the trouble of scenes before. But and I don't know why this is. It's fine, I guess. This is a nitpick from fellow perspective. This thing, because they did it with Michael, and now they're doing it with Spock, that the person arrives on the ship as an ensign and stays there the whole friggin' time for their career. Because when Michael, you know, came on board, she was an ensign, right? Or was she? Yeah, because she was coming from straight from
I
the Science
so,
Academy.
I think so, yeah.
And
oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
She stayed from ensign to commander?
Lieutenant commander.
Or commander.
Well, no, she started at ensign and she ended at mutineer.
Yes. But like the same time she went from, you know, whatever, tertiary science officer to first officer on the ship, only posting her entire career. So we're saying that Spock, and we're not saying it's his first posting this because he went from a starbase, but he's an ensign. So he stayed from the Enterprise from ensign to lieutenant commander, the majority posting of his whole career. And I was like, couldn't he have just been like Lieutenant Spock? You know, he's still young. He's still a junior officer. You don't have to. But anyway.
It's kind of a weird choice to. It's kind of a weird choice to go back even further than Discovery to place these things. Like, I don't know. Why not do this episode, like, after Discovery leaves? It just feels weird. It feels like they're still putting their hand in. They're just taking their hand and just mixing all canon up. They don't care. It's just mesh it all up. It doesn't matter anymore. It just feels like, why do this? Because it could be an interesting story. It's like Spock's first arrival on the Enterprise could actually be pretty fascinating.
Fascinating.
But here it feels wasted. It feels kind of fascinating. It feels kind of like wasted. Like, I don't know. I didn't learn anything new. I guess I learned number one likes to sing.
I mean, so we know from The Cage that, you know, she fancies the captain a little bit. But who doesn't, really?
Apparently she fancies anyone with a pulse based off of this.
Well, no, it's a certain type. But then, you know, like I said, the sexual attention, which, like you said, because, and I don't know how it happens, because, like, the writing doesn't necessarily have it. I think it's all the acting and directing that really creates that tension. I don't know if that's purposeful or not from the writer's perspective. But then you have the sexual tension between Number One and Spock. I'm like, are they going to kiss? Or and then at the end, so like when she says this didn't happen or whatever her thing is, I get it. But then she said it like 5 times. I'm like,
like, okay, as your honor of a Vulcan and a Starfleet officer.
Do you want him to pinky swear? I mean, what do you, I get it. It's, you sort of have like Yar and Data here.
And
I
then
mean.
Spock's like, yes, pinky swear. And he holds up 2 fingers. And it's like, no, Spock, bad Spock.
We talked
That's
about this.
That's not what that is. We talked about it. HR Spock, that way.
I know. Sheesh. Commander fraternizing with ensigns. Come on now.
All right.
Maybe so, that wasn't really Spock, because apparently he wasn't standing in the middle of the transporter when he beamed from wherever he was. He was like in the hallway to the transporter.
What was that?
It was really weird.
I didn't know where he was at the beginning, because she's like, you came from Starbase, whatever, whatever. I'm like, he was in like a, yeah. I was like, where do, like from a dungeon or something? I don't know.
How do we show a Starbase without exterior shot? Just hallway of lights. There you go. And beam him up.
He just place him in like a discovery court, you know, a room and redress it a little bit and call it, you know.
I don't know. Here's the thing, though. We're getting some more short treks. Yeah. And Darren mentioned them earlier, so I'm not going to repeat it. But I hope. I just mentioned
the old ones.
I mentioned all of them.
Oh, I thought you. Sorry. Philip mentioned them. Sorry. But we're getting them one more in October. So yep. One more this upcoming week. And then one in November, 2 in December, and 1 in January. And we know at least one of them is a Picard one, I believe. And we don't. I don't.
One
don't
would
really
assume
know.
The last one.
Yeah, it could be. It could.
One's animated.
The last one was something about Mars, right?
Children of Mars.
Yep. Children of Mars. Oh, are we going to learn about the Mars Defense Perimeter, guys?
They're rebuilding after.
There's a plaque at Utopia Planitia for all those brave men who
guys,
lost their lives.
That's why that Borg cube is messed up, because the Mars Defense Perimeter finally did its job and wasted that Borg cube. You know,
Or maybe that's a holodeck program in the Descendants of the Mars Defense. This is how it happened. We totally kicked the butt of that sphere.
No, wait. Are you saying it's the new Kobayashi Maru in the early 25th century is the Mars Defense Perimeter?
You are the Mars Defense Perimeter defending Seoul against the Borg cube, and they're like, "How are we? How are we supposed to win this? You're not.
We're 3 tiny ships, man. You can't do anything."
It'll show your character.
We want to know how you deal with death.
Well, it's the same as the other one. So well.
So, CBS, if you want people to write your short treks, hit us up, because we obviously have great ideas here.
I mean, we got ideas, Daniel. I don't know how great
we'll
they
workshop
are,
it.
So that's it. You know, there's just so much going on in Star Trek right now, and it's crazy. And here's the thing. I don't think it's going to slow down for a while, man. We're going to hit
Star
Picard.
Star Trek Universe.
Yep.
Yeah, we're hitting Picard in January. I assume Discovery will be, I would guess, springtime?
And then we're going to have the animated one. I've already forgotten its name.
The animated one is probably right behind
Lower
it.
Decks.
Lower Decks. Yeah. There you go. Thank you.
I mean, I would assume that's still 2020, so 3 shows.
And then Nickelodeon will be coming out at some time if that project's still going on.
Yeah.
Almost certainly, they will force you to keep your CBS subscription all year. No more canceling.
That's their ultimate plan, Daniel.
So that's...
But hey, they can slowly ramp up, because they didn't spend $4 billion to acquire Star Trek. They already had it.
That's right. So that's it. That's it for this week. Philip, if people wanted to talk to you about which uniform Spock should be wearing, where'd they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at NC Public Servant. That's NC for not canon uniform.
And Darren, if people wanted to find out who was the best Number One, is it the dog or is it Riker?
It's the dog, guys. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Or is it
I'm
Una?
Sorry.
She's also a Number One.
That's right.
Yeah, I thought, yeah. But she can't sing. At least not that I've heard. They can find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
And if people wanted to find me on Twitter, they could, at OneUpDan. That's the number one, not the word, as in, hey, we got the number one best uniforms back. We had TNG uniforms, man. That's exciting. That's good stuff.
We did. And I think Picard's kind of casual wear was a little bit of first contact-ish, kind of like the shoulder was it off color, and it's just lots of good uniforms.
I loved how his little comm badge said visitor on it.
Yes,
that was fun.
Yes.
Yes, but anyways, until next week, I am Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here on SETI Alpha 3.